Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. There's an organization in Chicago that is known throughout the nation called Safe Humane Chicago. I'm very proud to say I was there at the very beginning of this, but I will tell you the organization is so taken off. We are going to hear what this organization does to save dogs in animal shelters, so-called court case dogs, other things they do in the community, how they have taught and continue to teach children humane education, and how a film that we'll talk about in just one moment is helping Safe Humane Chicago, a movie called Stray, which is just a beautiful movie. Also, I'm going to weigh in, because everybody else has, about those dogs in the White House, what the issue might have been in the first place, how it might have been avoided, and now what can be done to reintroduce those dogs. And more importantly, you know, you adopt a dog from a shelter or maybe you move. You might not be moving into the White House. You might be moving into your new house. But how to help your dog, or for that matter, your cat, adjust. Elizabeth Lowe is a filmmaker, and this movie you've got to check out. It's simply called Stray, that follows in Turkey, the country of Turkey, one particular dog, a street dog, and they're not uncommon there. And then there are other dogs that come in and out of it, even some homeless kids. Elizabeth, I'll start here. It's a beautiful movie, no question about it, but it's done differently than any other movie I've seen. You literally let the dog kind of speak by the dog's actions. There's no expert talking about, well, we have lots of dogs like this in Turkey. Nothing like that. You do hear some of the people talking, and that's translated, if you don't know Turkish, or whatever language they were speaking, I'm not even sure, on the screen, and that's not most of the movie. Most of the movie is you're inside the dog's head. Yeah. I've never seen that. Why did you decide to do it that way?
For me, it was really important that this film was an experiment in letting go of my desires as a human and letting a dog take over the narrative and really trying to use the cinematic tools to immerse viewers in what it might be like to be a dog, to see the world from 2 feet tall, and to hear eavesdrop on conversations that are happening around the dog, but also losing interest in those conversations. I made the film because I think anthropocentrism and a human-centric worldview can be really destructive. And so this film is this attempt to orally and visually recenter the world around a non-human gaze. And I don't know what the impact is, but I hope it sparks something in audiences.
Well, one of the many, many things that you demonstrate, in my opinion, in the movie, is that the human-animal bond doesn't necessarily mean the dog has to be sleeping on our bed. Here you have these homeless kids that associate with that dog. You have other people, human beings, that come in and out that, for 5 minutes at a time even, associate with the dog. But the dogs, clearly, all the dogs, including your star, Zayton, they want to be with people. They want to associate with people, and it's clear that it's more than about getting a handout.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dogs evolved with us. They're highly social in Istanbul because they're treated so well by the community, and there are these laws that protect them to allow them to roam freely. So they're able to wander in and out of people's lives as they please and live life on their own terms. And I really wanted to capture that, to see what a dog's decision-making looks like on screen. You go through days with this dog and nights with this dog, seeing the types of people that Zayton chooses to hang around. And whether it's, you know, eavesdropping in on a women's march or spending time with the refugees who are from Syria, who are the young men that you're talking about, giving them comfort and warmth when they needed it. I was very moved by how a stray dog could cut across gender, ethnic, and class lines throughout the city. And you really get a sense of Turkey, but through a dog's point of view.
So well put and achieved, by the way, in the movie. My question is, how did you keep up with this dog? I mean, dogs do move faster than we do. And this dog is just running there. And you're there with the dog. Are you a marathon runner?
Not at all. I'm not an athlete in the least, but I figured out a contraption that would allow me to have a stabilizer, use a stabilizer with a camera that was very heavy, but also a contraption that allowed that camera to hang off of my waist so that I would crouch low and just follow the dogs as best I could. And there are parts in the movie where you see I kind of lose control when the dogs take off and I'm chasing after them and it gets really bumpy. But that was all part of this process of adapting to a dog's rhythm in life. And yeah.
Well, the movie is absolutely beautiful. I am sure you have some awards coming your way. How can people see the film?
So it is released widely now all across North America in virtual cinemas and also iTunes, Amazon, all the usual platforms where you can rent films. And if you go to www.straymovie.com, you can find out what virtual cinema you want to support or rent it on iTunes. And also what we're encouraging people to do is to, on social media, if you have a dog with you and you're watching it with them and they're reacting to the film, because we found that a lot, you can tag @StrayDogFilm, #StrayWatchParty, your dog watching Stray.
I love it. You won't like my answer to that. Our dog was in the other room and my cat was watching with me, and I'm not even sure that's allowed. Elizabeth Lowe, thank you so much. The director of this beautiful movie called Stray. Thank you.
Thank you.
So there goes Elizabeth Lowe, the director of the movie Stray. And here comes our pal, Cynthia Bathurst, who happens to be the president of Safe Humane Chicago. Hello, Cynthia.
Hello, Steve. What a delight to hear your voice and be with you.
Well, that might be overdoing it, especially this early in the morning. But I do have a question for you. I know there is an association with Safe Humane Chicago and the movie Stray. What is that?
Actually, Magnolia Pictures, who's the distributor for Stray, reached out to Safe Humane asking if we would be interested in promoting the movie and giving me a link to the film, and I watched it, and I was hooked. Why? Because it is at a perfect time for Safe Humane Chicago, and I'm moving toward being more helpful and more involved in the community outside of shelters, and also in understanding and focusing on the perceptions and the needs of dogs and cats, but dogs in this case, and this film gives you a wonderful view into looking at society and a lot of issues through a dog's eyes. And then I got connected because I read Elizabeth Lowe's director notes and realized that her ethic and her interest in understanding the relationship of dogs to humans and the importance of society and how respect matters in homes just sucked me in. So I said, yes, we will promote it. So it is a fundraiser, but it's also a conversation I think we should all be having.
Yeah, and I know there's a panel discussion that you can see. We'll talk about that panel discussion. We'll talk a bit more about the movie, and we will talk about how Safe Humane Chicago has not only changed Chicago, but also impacted other cities throughout the country because of what you do and what all of the volunteers involved with Safe Humane Chicago do. We'll be right back right here on WGN. Cynthia Bathurst is here. You may not know her name. You may know the name Safe Humane Chicago. And if you don't, you ought to. And we'll talk more about that. But we were talking about a movie connected now with Safe Humane Chicago. You're kind of fundraising from the movie. The movie is called Stray, about one dog in particular, but other dogs kind of come in and out of this movie too. That happened to be a stray dog in Istanbul, Turkey. People are a part of this too, but this is just a different kind of film, Cynthia. I mean, there's no narration. You said it earlier, the director, Elizabeth Lowe, pointed it out. She wanted everything to be from the dog's perspective. In fact, watching this movie, you kind of get inside, I think, you kind of get inside a dog's head, which isn't a bad place to be.
Funny that you say that. I just read a review the other day that Michael Moore did that said that he was always afraid of dogs and didn't like them much. He saw the movie and now he wants to be a dog. And he thinks it was really impactful. And I laughed too. So yes, I think that that's really important. And there are some other things, some young Syrian strays, but the film is about the dogs. And what's lucky for us is because we were asked if we would like to promote it, it's an easiest way as possible to give a little bit of money to Safe Humane Programming and where we're going this year, which I know we're going to talk about. So if you go to safehumanechicago.org and just click on Zeitan, the main character, the main dog's photo on the home page, it'll take you to our particular ticket page with Magnolia Films. You pay $12 to rent the film and watch it in the comfort of your home anytime. And $5 of that goes to Safe Humane. Voila, nothing else to do. There's also other opportunities to give, and we can talk about what we're doing, but that's the easiest way. And then also you get to be part of the conversation. And that exclusive panel, which is only available through our ticketing page, is a panel that I put together with Elizabeth Lowe, so she talks a bit more about the film, and with Chris Green, that some of you may remember, who is an attorney who is now at Harvard's Animal Law and Policy program. Also with Cliff Freilich, who's with Cinema St. Louis, but a lot of us know as Lady Van Cavage's fine companion.
Yes.
And it's moderated by Jean Sparrow, our Chicago-owned wonderful person who cares about the humane treatment of people and animals. So there's a lot of insight there. It's about 42 minutes, and you just click on it and listen to it, and I got in comments that said people understood the film better after they listened to the panel discussion.
Well, Jean Sparrow's a wonderful interviewer, so I'm sure I haven't seen that part of it, but I did see the movie and enjoyed the movie greatly, and I can understand the connection with Safe Humane Chicago. For those who don't know, Cynthia, explain what Safe Humane Chicago is.
Well, Safe Humane is a nonprofit. It's basically a community welfare organization that seeks to create safer, more humane communities by inspiring positive relationships between people and animals. And that sounds big, but we mostly do community and collaboration. We collaborate with all the wonderful rescue groups out there, and also with, you know, neighborhood associations and other kind of groups. And what we do, our programming, that, as you know, our heart and soul started with the court case dogs, who are dogs who have been rescued from people abusing them, and those people are taken to court in criminal court cases, but the dogs are given quality of life, lots of care, and then when they become a court case dog, they get free lifetime behavioral support, which we've been doing for their families so that they can stay there and stay well and stay safe.
Yeah, we don't have the time to explain it all here, but in brief, as is, it's an absolute, according to the law, 20 years ago or 15 years ago, I don't remember how long it was. It wasn't quite that long ago, Cynthia, that you got involved in all this. But that if someone is arrested, say, for a drug bust, and they happen to have a dog with them, well, that dog is essentially arrested, too. The dog did nothing wrong. The dog has shown maybe no signs of aggression at all, but the dog lands at Animal Care and Control. And until the case comes up to court, which could mean months and months, if not a year or two later, that dog is in that position. And you said, well, this is ridiculous. This has to change. So you've gotten dogs out of there that are great, wonderful companions. And that's incredible. And now other cities all over the country have done the same. And I know you're also involved, when you say in communities, you mean in communities that may not otherwise have humane education. And I know one of your missions is to provide that as well.
Absolutely. And what we want to do is go into the community, find out what they believe they need with their families and dogs, provide them with it, let them empower us with the knowledge of what they need, and we'll give back the many years of experience we have in keeping their animals safe, educating about what humane treatment means, how dogs learn, how people learn, and together maybe we can treat each other, animals and people, more humanely.
Well, you know, one could argue Chicago has bigger problems, and I suppose that's true. On the other side of the coin, we know, it's not my opinion here, we know that when people are cruel, inhumane to animals, they are more likely to be the same to one another. So I would suggest, and I've said this for years, and I know you have too, that if people are kinder toward animals, they will in fact be kinder toward one another. Have you found that to be true?
Absolutely, and we can show it in pictures and stories and success and also just seeing and how the animals connect in two ways. You know this, you've had this on your show, where just petting a dog releases hormones that make people feel calmer and better and happier. And then when you add to that learning to understand, having some empathy for how another being is feeling and helping each other, so we work with people who need healing and help. You put the two together. Steve, you've seen it. It is almost shocking how much difference it can make in such a short time. And that's what we do. We want people to be able to experience that, and given that how many people in the United States, in the world really, have dogs in their homes and as part of their families, that's important. It's part of the fabric of society, and we want to help that along.
You know, my hope is that, and I know you raise money from and get from a variety of different sources, but I hope that someone that has a corporate connection is hearing all this and understanding all this and knows the difference, or at least is willing to investigate the difference that Safe Humane Chicago has made, not only for Chicago, but by other cities, as I've mentioned, following suit, has made a difference all over the country. And if it can be grown even more, then more of a difference can be made. But you need the ability to do that financially, I'm sure. So my hope is that someone listening to this will hear that loud and clear. Cynthia, what is the website for Safe Humane Chicago?
It is safehumanechicago.org, O-R-G. And you just go there and you'll be connected to places that you can give and what you can do.
Safehumanechicago.org, an organization that I know very well, and I know you know that, Cynthia.
Yes, you do. We've been together a long time, and you've helped us get to where we are.
Well, that I'm not so sure of. I think you've done that, my friend. Thank you so much, as always. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So whether it's your house or the White House, it doesn't matter. An adjustment for dogs does take time and should be gradual, which this wasn't, which I'll get to in a second. So I'm talking about Dr. Jill Biden and Joe Biden, President Biden's dogs, the two German shepherds, and one of those German shepherds, Major, a three-year-old dog who was adopted in 2018, had an issue. And apparently some security person came around, surprised the dog somehow, and went to pet the dog, and the dog bit him. We know that the bite wasn't especially serious, but serious enough to be treated. He was treated at the White House, and the dogs were sent back to Delaware. Bad dogs. Well, not bad dogs. They're just responding to a circumstance, and it's only one dog. So the other dog is now a 13-year-old dog. That dog is Champ, who's been there and done that. Champ is, in fact, a good role model for Major, you would think. So that's a good thing. Now, what we don't know is if Major had some issues before even going to the White House. Apparently, maybe. Jumping inappropriately on people and also barking for no apparent reason. So whether this is a default behavior because the dog was never taught not to jump on people, for example, or whether there's some anxiety going on and or some fear going on, there's no way to know. Also, I don't know from where I stand whether Major had previous experience with a lot of people. So the White House has all these people coming in, going over there. I don't know if that was the case in the Biden household. So this dog may not, or might have, I don't know, experience with a lot of people. And how this dog responded to strangers is another thing I don't know. So the dogs are back in Delaware. And what I would hope is that these dogs are looked at by a professional, probably a veterinary behaviorist, who can look at these dogs, assess the dog, and help this one dog if Major does need some help. Maybe it's just some basic training. Again, I don't know. But then when the dogs are sent back to Washington, D.C., when they are sent back to the White House, take it slow. And this is what you should do when you adopt a dog from a shelter or if you move into a new house, dog or cat. Kind of like room by room. one or two rooms at a time. And in the case of the White House, with more familiar people, so choose a room or two rooms. Try to relegate. So doggy gates at the White House, I suppose, is what I'm supporting here. So the dog is kept in a restricted area. It's not this giant, massive area with all these new people that the dog has to deal with. Taking it slow is always a good idea, no matter. This is not the dog's fault. I've read some newspaper reports that say that also that the dog needs to understand appropriate training and be taught dominance. That is rubbish. That makes no sense whatsoever. Next week on the show, I'll be talking to Dr. Dana Varble about diabetes in dogs and cats, which is an increasingly common problem. We'll see you next week on Steve Dale's Pet World.